Praise God indeed. I pray that that is the prayer of each of us today, that the Lord would order our steps each and every day, that we would walk worthy in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that God would be glorified in and through our lives. Amen. And that we would just enjoy the journey in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, women. Amen. Let's give the Lord another praise offering. That was just the most fitting introduction for our message this Lord's Day. Amen. Praise God, saints. God indeed is worthy. Amen. Amen. We are into the third week of our series now. Can I trust God? Pastor Kelly kicked it off. Can I trust God in my disappointments? And then Pastor Rick led us into, can I trust God with my money, money, money? Amen. And today, can I trust God with my future? All right. Are you ready, saints?
Yeah.
All right. Seatbelts on?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we go. But first, let's pray. Praise your name, Lord God. We say thank you for all of your goodness unto us. And, oh God, we're here. And as we actively listen now to the preaching of your holy word, we ask that you would speak of your love and faithfulness to us again through Jesus Christ our Lord by the power of your spirit that is present in this room and present in our hearts. We ask today that you would strengthen us and transform our fear into confident trust. Oh, make it so, Lord. We thank and praise you ahead of time. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's saints join to say, amen and amen. Amen. Can I trust God with my future? Now, some may respond to that with something like, I trust God. I still worry a lot about my future. Now, concerning the future, I'm going to just switch this for a moment. Concerning the future, saints, I think that we all have a my worry list. Amen? All right. Now, you'll notice on the back of your sermon note sheet, there is a worry list page. That's your my worry list, okay? So I'm going to ask that you would turn to that and pull out a pen or pencil. Have them handy because we're going to talk about worrying today. And then at the end of our time together, we're going to offer our worries and offer our futures up to God. Amen? All right. Worries about the future. Okay, we all have worries about the future. And while the message is going on, periodically you might think, oh, yeah, that's a worry I have in my life. I'm really concerned about that in my future. So instead of letting that distract you, I want you to just write it down on your worry list, all right? I want you to be writing. Write your worries down, and we're going to give them all to God, amen, at the conclusion of this message. Now, the psalmist makes an interesting statement, and I want us to read this aloud together, and I have it printed in our sermon note sheet. This is Psalm 4:8. Together, saints, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen. Now, I'll tell you something that I would rather not admit, saints, and that is I do not always lie down and go right to sleep. I don't. There are times when I have a hard time going to sleep because my mind keeps racing. I just can't seem to turn it off, and I can't seem to go to sleep. Sometimes I'll worry about a problem that I really don't know how to solve or how I'm going to solve it. Sometimes I'm worrying about a decision that I have to make, and I know I don't even want to make the decision, so it's I'm allowing it to keep me awake. Sometimes I'll worry about a different conversation that I've already had with someone, and I keep thinking over it, or a conversation I need to have with someone, but I really don't want to have with that someone, and so that kind of keeps me up. Sometimes I worry about our children, and sometimes I just wonder about school, and I worry, and I just keep thinking of deadlines. Okay, you got to have this in by that date, and I just let it just keep my mind going, and I just start to worry, and then I let my imagination go, and then I start making, well, what if that happened? And oh my goodness, and if I didn't get this done, and what if this, and what if that, okay? So I know, saints, that we can say we trust God, amen, but we can live as if we really didn't. All right, I know this. So let's admit it. Let's just go out and just admit it at the get-go that we can get anxious, amen. We can be concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen in our future. Well, today we're going to talk about trusting God with our futures. And in our text this morning, we read a psalm. Billy read it so well for us, Psalm 121, that the Israelites would actually sing 121 while they were making their yearly pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. They would sing Psalm 121. And for many, this was a long and treacherous trip. The miles were long and the traveler was vulnerable. You see, there were dangers that awaited them on many fronts. Many things could go wrong. Many bad things could happen. And they had no interstates on which they could travel. They didn't have any navigation apps on their cell phones at that time. Amen. They couldn't call the DMV to find out if they were in trouble or whatever. So they had a reason to fear. And they longed to feel the same safety and protection that we long for today in our lives. So they would sing this song, Psalm 121. All right, let's just quickly read this together. We won't sing it today, we'll read it. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen, saints. These are powerful words, amen. And part of what I love about the Hebrew way of thinking is that it was filled with pictures and images, and the images are very earthy, amen, very physical. And it's just so beautiful, praise God. And so we look here and say, wow, I lift my eyes unto the hills, amen, from whence comes my help. All right, my help comes from the Lord. All right, so we look there. I lift my eyes to the mountains, to the hills. Now, we tend to think as mountains and hills as very beautiful. How many here love looking at mountains? Or me too. Just, they're just so beautiful. I remember the first time I drove through the state of New York. There were just so many mountains. It was just so like, I just said, ooh, it's so pretty. But so many places I've gone to see so many beautiful mountains. But saints, in the ancient world, mountains and hills were kind of a problem if you wanted to travel, because those mountains got in the way. You had to get on the other side and like, wow, that's a problem in front of you, amen? That was some trouble that you had in front of you. And so we think of just beauty, but they were thinking of a place, wow, where thieves could hide and jump out and rob you. Or, you know, you were in danger, a wild bear, a beast, or something could come out and tear you up. Kidnappers could just come and scoop you away, amen, because they could hide in those hills. Well, now, the word hills, amen, you might want to substitute for the word future, and I've printed that in your sermon note sheet. I lift my eyes to the future. All right, we see our circumstance, but we're going to look beyond that. We're going to find we're going to look beyond that. But I see my circumstances, and my circumstances today may be beautiful. All right, I see my circumstances. It might be I'm having money problems. Maybe that's what's happening. Maybe I'm having a relationship problem somewhere in my life. Maybe I'm having a problem on my job. Maybe I'm having some kind of health concern with my body. We see our circumstances. We see, yes, right now I'm upset. I have an emotional problem. I see that. I know my secret problems. Yes, I know what's going on. I see that. And now on our little worry list, I want you all to just start writing these things, whether it's a health or whether it's a child, whether it's a marriage or a relational problem with anybody, anything on your worry list, just start writing some of these down, all right? Now, we see them and we think, well, how am I going to get over these hills in my life? These are hills. Some of them are mountains even. Some of them are mountains. And so we say, well, how am I going to get over this mountain? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to us? Where am I going to find help? And even before we face the external problem, whether it's money, relationships, jobs, school, whatever it is, we have this internal, everybody say internal spiritual problem of worry. And it just sucks the life right out of us. You see people who are so worried, and they usually walk around like this. They're just so worried, you know, and you can just tell it because worry is killing them. And it's so interesting to me that worry comes from the German word würgen, which originally meant to strangle. It meant to constrict. It meant to choke. Now, that's what worrying about the future does, saints. So for a moment right now, I just want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to really quickly just take your hands and put them around their neck and gently start squeezing and choking them until they start gasping or turning blue. All right, just try that. So as you're doing that, amen, you'll get a sense of what worry does. That's what worry does. Worry chokes the life out of us today, and it chokes the life out of us tomorrow. That's why God, who is life, said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus said, worry is never God's will, never God's plan for anybody's life. It never is. And the psalmist, that's why the psalmist says, I lift my eyes into the hills. Amen. We got to get past our circumstances to the future. Amen. God is already there. Praise God. So then I think, well, where does my help come from? This psalmist lets us know my help comes from the Lord. Amen. The Lord. It's not from the hills. Our help is not from the hills. It's not from me. It's not from you. Amen. It's from the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, this word help is a beautiful word. It is used over 200 times in the Word of God. And most often, this word help describes God. God is our help. Amen. Now, saints, it's a humbling thing for God, our great almighty God, to be willing to be known as the help. Amen. How many saw that movie, The Help? All right. Well, God is saying, I am the help. Amen. In your life. God is our help. And this is also humbling for us, saints. This is humbling news for we self-sufficient folks who think we've put ourselves up by our bootstraps, you know, and we're in this culture of performance, performance, performance. Because it says, I am the little kind of creature that needs help. Amen. All right. How many here today know that you need help? Yeah. Hallelujah. I know I need help. I need help. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help. And it's a good thing to just call on him. Help me, Jesus. Wherever you are, whatever going on, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said, call on me. Yeah, I'm going to show you some great things. Now, this is our situation, saints. Now, worrying about the future, it takes many forms, and we all have to deal with it, all of us. Sometimes it's the pain of an anxiety, and we can feel it even in our stomachs, and we can just feel the anxiety in our hearts. But worry also takes the form of workaholism, amen? Sometimes, well, I'm just going to keep working so I don't have to think about all my problems. And it could be the opposite. Sometimes worry can give us paralysis. We can't move. It's like, I don't know. I'm just not moving. You know? Now, sometimes people, we try to avoid worry by medicating ourselves. Amen. There's lots of ways to medicate ourselves. We can do it with alcohol or whatever. We can do it with achievements. We're just going to keep on achieving and keep on achieving. or we could just do it on the internet, just keep living on the internet or watching the TV or going shopping or whatever. It's just so many ways we can medicate our worries. And very often we deal with worry by going into control mode. Woo! I am in control. I am in control of this situation. All right, saints, reality starts right here, right now, with this recognition. Brace yourself. Are you ready? All right, here we go. We are going to admit this. I am not in control. All right, let's practice that. I know it would be hard for some of us to even say that, but let's try that together. I am not in control of anything. Go ahead and add that on, of anything. I am not in control of anything. Oh, you see, well, I don't know about that, Pastor Toby. Well, saints, can anybody here guarantee that your body is going to stay healthy? Nope. We can't guarantee that. We can eat right. We can exercise twice a day. We can go to the doctors once a week. But you know what? That still is no guarantee that we're going to stay healthy. Amen. The clock continues to tick, tick, tick. Has anybody looked in the mirror lately? Hallelujah. Can you see that the clock is ticking? All right, even if you don't have a mirror, you can feel it. Just touch your back right here. Touch your knees. All right, we can feel it. Amen. Amen. The clock is ticking, and ultimately, saints, our body is not in our hands. Can you control the economy? What do you think about that? No, we can't control the economy because we can work hard, we can try to save, but ultimately, saints, the economy is way beyond just merely human power. Can you make your spouse change? Oh, all right. You all had that right. I didn't know if there was going to be some ambiguity among this question, but the answer is no. Amen. We cannot make our spouse change. God can make our spouse change. Hallelujah. And guess what else? God can make our spouse's spouse change. Hallelujah. Y'all got that? Our spouse's spouse. God can make that one change too. Amen. Praise God. You see, inwardly, I want to be able to trust my future to me. And you do too. Inwardly, we want to do that. I want to be able to trust my strength. I want to be able to trust my gifts. I want to be able to trust my talents. I want to be able to trust my education. I want to be able to trust my abilities. I want to be able to trust my social skills. I want to be able to trust my network of people. I want to be able to trust my list of names. Amen. But saints, one day is coming that I am going to run into a hill. I am going to run into a mountain where none of that stuff will be able to help. None of that stuff. And guess what? One day you will too. And on that day, saints, we will want to know where to lift our eyes. We're going to want to know. And scripture says, I lift up my eyes. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Now, saints, the real important question is, what kind of help? What kind of help are we talking about today? And this gets us into a really deep, deep issue of the kingdom of God, the kingdom that God is more about, not just anxiety avoidance. That's not just what God wants to do in our lives, amen. So I want us to listen carefully. This is important for us to understand. This does not mean I'm going to get all the help I want from God to get all the little projects done that I think I need to get done. This doesn't mean I'm going to get all the help I need so that I can be ushered into the exact kind of circumstances that I think are going to make me happy and the circumstances that I want in my life. This does not mean, saints, that I'm going to get God to help me to get ahead and help me to just do everything I want to do and everything that I think is so important. This is not what this help means. It brings us to the most important word in this psalm, and it gets repeated over and over, saints. The kind of help that God gives is watch. Over and over, the psalmist said, the Lord who watches over you, who watches over Israel. The Lord will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. That little word, watch, saints, gets used 6 times in these few verses. Now, is the truth here, whether we know it or not, but right here in this psalm and from Jesus' life, we see God is the watcher, and we are the watchees. Hallelujah. High five your neighbor and say, we the watchees. Amen. We the watchees. God is the watcher. We are the watchees. And we are the kind of being that needs to be watched over. Amen. Sheep, lambs, we need to be watched over. So if no one is watching over my little life, then I'm doomed. I just want you to know I'm doomed. But praise God if I have a watcher. Thank you, Lord, for being that watcher. Amen. You know, as a family, we say to each other from time to time, good looking out. It's just like when we've helped each other out and we didn't know that we're going to get this help. And like, wow, you did that for me. You know, it's like, good looking out, good watching out. Just for a quick example, over Christmas celebration, we were blessed with some very wonderful desserts. And in our hostessing and trying to get so many things accomplished and doing so many things, I didn't get a chance to really sit down and enjoy some of the desserts like I wanted to just sit down and get my coffee and everything. So I would eat a dessert and I'd say, oh, this is good. And then I would keep running and everything. But a few days after Christmas, we were getting back into the regular routine. Sharon comes and she brings me some packages wrapped up in foil. And she says, you know what? I know you just love these desserts, so I just saved a few extra pieces for you. So now you can sit down and enjoy with your coffee these desserts, because I knew you never got a chance to sit down. I said, woo, good looking out, girlfriend. Good looking out, amen. Good looking out. And just so many, if you think of in your life, my sister Susan, she can pick up something from one of her specialty shops, and she'll just drop it by. She said, hey, I just picked you up something. I said, woo, let me put this on right now, and I'm on out the door. I'm aware of this. Praise God. I just really appreciate it. I said, good looking out. Good watching out. Pastor Rick, he keeps me the latest technology. I would still be back, I'm telling you, in the dark ages. You know, he bought me this new cell phone for my birthday, Christmas. I still don't know how to use it too well, but I'm trying to answer everybody's phone and make my calls and all. But I said, oh, good looking out, I think. Good looking out. I'll get there one day, amen. And Keon, he tries to keep putting all these apps on my phone. It's going to be years before I even understand a fourth of them. But I say, good looking out, I think. I don't know what all these do, but good looking out, amen. And we do that for each other, for the family of God. We be looking out for each other. High five and say, it's great to be a part of the family of God. Good looking out. We look out for each other. We watch over each other. Amen. Praise God. And over and over and over, the psalmist says, this is God watching over you, looking out for you. Amen. Well, dear friend, God is watching you concerning your future today. So whatever, everybody say whatever. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever is going on in your body, whatever is going on in your relationships, whatever is going on at your job, at school, God is watching you. Amen. God is watching, and God says, I know the plans I got for you. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. So you don't have to be afraid. Amen. And again, all of this language, it's God's language. And that it's language that will change our lives, saints, if we would just let it. Scripture says here in this text, the Lord will watch over your coming and going. Well, what's that about? It's actually kind of a technical phrase in Hebrew. When you wake up in the morning, we get up and we get ourselves together. We go out into the world. Amen. We go to work. We go to school. We go in the community. And we do our things that we need to do. And then later on that evening, we come back. Okay, we go out. We come back. We try to come in, do dinner. We try to do a few chores. We try to get a little relaxation in. And we start preparing for the next day. Amen. To go out and to come back. And so in this passage, what is it saying? The Lord will watch your going and your coming. It's a very beautiful way of saying every moment of your life, God is watching you. God is watching you every moment of your life. Now, it goes on to say here, the sun will not harm you by day. Now, again, this is what is called the Psalm of Ascent. And it is one about 15 psalms about journeying to Jerusalem. This is a Journey to Jerusalem song that they sang. And so if you can imagine traveling in the day, you're traveling to Jerusalem, it's hot, the sun is just burning you up, you're just thirsty, and you know there's great danger, you never know what was going to jump out that could kill you. But scripture says the sun will not harm you by day, amen. The God is watching you, nor the moon by night. Now the moon by night, it kind of strikes us a little funny because we don't really say that too much. But in the ancient world, the moon was associated with not thinking clearly, all right? So in the New Testament, twice a Greek word is used, moonstruck, in that very same way that it's used in this passage in Psalm 121. And even in English, we have this odd kind of association. For example, we say of someone who has fallen head over heels in love, and they're not thinking clearly about their situation or about this relationship in which they find themselves. You know, we said, oh, you're moonstruck, all right. You know, the moon didn't touch your mind, all right. So in English, we have this terminology, and it comes from the word moon, lunar. Okay, you know, it's got to do with the moon. And if we're not acting too right, they'll say, well, there's some lunacy here, or like, are you acting like a lunatic? But it has to do with the moon, all right. All right, you're talking kind of crazy, all right? So that's kind of lunar, all right? So what this is saying, in your waking and in your sleeping, in your coming, in your going, in your day, in your night, when the sun is up or the moon is up, God is watching over your life. And God neither slumbers nor sleeps, hallelujah. God is 24/7, amen. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. Praise God. And that's where a counselor would be. If you were a king, your counselor that you would be listening to would be at your right hand, or your guide, your bodyguard would be at your right hand. And that's where the one that you need the most is at your right hand. So that's what this is saying. It's like it plays on strength, the emphasis of strength, your right hand. The Lord is at your right hand. Amen. And all of this language, saints, is so loaded. And we could just say, wow, look at God. And the result of all of this is God will not let your foot slip. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for not letting our foot slip. Now, another very striking phrase, and it happens so easily, not letting your foot slip. This summer, I stopped by to get something at Susan's apartment. And I was outside, and I went across to the other building, and I forgot I had stuff in my hands, that there was a funny little step there. And so I was talking to one of her neighbors, and so another neighbor came up, and I turned to talk to them, and I forgot about that funny little step. And I had on my big high shoes, I forget which wedgies I had. I enjoy my wedgies. But I forgot about that step. So I just was walking like it was a platform. And then I thought to myself, oh, I'm in trouble now. Keon was sitting in the car, and he said that was the longest fall he had ever seen in his life. He said I looked like I was doing acrobats in the Olympics. I was trying to do everything to not fall. I was like, oh, what could I do to not fall? He said, I thought in my mind, she should just go ahead and fall. Go ahead and let your foot slip. Go ahead and fall. And eventually I did. I did fall. Woo, I fell. I fell, amen. But this is talking about having your foot slip, all right? And so he will not let your foot slip. What's this all about, saints? This is a common picture in the Bible. However, it does not mean what we might want it to mean. I know I wish my foot hadn't slipped that day. I wish I had never. Woo, did I? Woo, if the camera had been on me, they would have had that on that show that you could watch all those bloopers on. Oh, my goodness. But God is not saying here what we would think maybe we would want it to say. I would have not liked to have fallen down those steps. It does not generally, saints, refer to being physically safe or financially, not in general, not letting your foot slip. It generally is a way of talking about leaving the path of obedience in your life. That's really what it's talking about. You may often know in the Old Testament, it'll talk about the path of righteousness, the path of doing God's will, the path of the right way, amen. So to have your foot slip, Scripture is saying that is going away from God's will in your life. That's what it means. A classic example of this metaphor, if we're talking about leaving the path of obedience, is Psalm 73:2. You can just jot that. 73:2 of Psalm says, it says, "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped, had I nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Now, can you imagine envying the prosperous people who don't even deserve to be prosperous? Could you even imagine envying them? I mean, that would never happen among us now with that. Oh, no. But in the ancient world, that kind of thing happened, you know. And so the psalmist said, "I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And then the psalmist goes on to say, "Oh, my gosh. You know, when I was in that condition, I almost gave into an attitude that was not a godly attitude. I almost gave into a life of envy, a life of bitterness, a life of anger, a life of ingratitude. My foot almost slipped." My foot almost slipped. Now, to say that God will not let your foot slip, saints, is not saying God is going to keep you from all trouble, all pain, all heartache, all loss, all discomfort. Jesus already said in this world you will have trouble. You will have trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome. So God is not saying we're not going to have problems. It is saying that God will help me. God will help you stay obedient. Hallelujah. God will keep me from sin. Thank you, Lord God. God will guard my eternal soul. Now, this is to say that God will not allow any outside force or person to harm the soul that trusts in the Lord. Praise your name, Lord God. This is the teaching of this psalm and of Jesus. Nothing eternal is at risk in the future. Nothing eternal is at risk. So we can just be at peace about the future. We can just be at peace. However, saints, now everything temporal, that's another thing, it is at risk. Everything temporal is at risk. Our job, our bodies, relationships, circumstances, money, people that we love, everything else. But nothing eternal, nothing eternal. This is reality. This is the truth that shaped a life like the Apostle Paul. What did Paul say? He was eventually martyred. And this is what Paul says. Paul says in Romans 8, "What then shall trouble me?" Hallelujah. Do I look afraid of the future? What's going to trouble me? Danger, hardship, famine, persecution, sword? No. None of these things can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he went on to say, "We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us." Amen. Praise God, saints. We are part of a people whom untold thousands and thousands have sacrificed their lives for the name of Jesus Christ. And they sacrificed their lives and they counted it a privilege. And so this is letting us know we're not cushioned in life, but we are kept. We are kept. Hallelujah. You know, peace, and try to get this, peace is the opposite of security. Peace is the opposite. We want security. Oh, yeah, I just want to know my future is secure. That's what I want to know. I want to know. I want to know that my future is secure. But peace, the peace of God, the peace God gives, means just giving oneself completely to God, just trusting God. God, it's me and you. You got my back. You watching over me. And I'm at peace. I trust you. I don't have to worry about the future. And peace is not demanding. I want to guarantee. I want to guarantee my body is going to, I want to guarantee that this is going to happen. No, but just in faith and trust and obedience, just resting in the hand of Almighty God. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy. Oh, in Jesus, but to trust and obey. If you would just please turn to a neighbor and encourage them and say, you can always count on Jesus. You can always count on Jesus. Always. In the words of Martin Luther, he wrote a great hymn of the church, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And one of the verses goes, though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. We are kept, saints. High five your name and say, we're kept. We are kept. We are kept. Romans 8 is a confirmation that through the Spirit of God, we are kept, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Oh, through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be hills. There's going to be some even mountains in our lives. There's going to be some hindrances. There's going to be some impediments. There's going to be walls. There's going to be valleys. But our God said, amen, that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord, whatever come our way. And it goes on to say, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor even principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That's the future. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. That makes me want to shout hallelujah. Praise your name. I'm more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror today. Hallelujah. So today, my friend, be soothed in the knowledge that Jesus is that bridge over troubled waters. So when you get to those troubled waters, Jesus is going to be that bridge. Amen. And just stand on the promises of God, the word of God, that the battles are not yours. They're not mine. They're the Lord's. Amen. And cling to the fact that Jesus is the rock. You are the rock. You are our shelter in the midst of the storm. And saints, hold on to the provision that God is the battle axe. Amen. In the time of war, God is that shelter in the time of storm. Praise your name. Be comforted in knowing that Jesus is that joy even in the midst of sorrow. Jesus is our hope for tomorrow. Amen. And rest upon the fact that Christ can do anything but fail. Hallelujah. Amen. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. I just want to conclude. This is not a Hallmark psalm. This is not a promise that our lives are going to be cushioned. They're going to be hunky-dory. These are words for a deeper, a steeper, a noble journey in and with our Lord. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, for it comes my help. There's no other way, saints. I will lift my eyes to the hills. Now, there is another hill, and it's many miles away, and that hill is many years away. And on that hill, there is a man. And on that man is all of my sins, all of your sins. And the name of that hill is Calvary. And the name of the man is Jesus. And Jesus died so that we could live, that we could experience peace, that we could be free of worry about tomorrow. Jesus. And the only way to really live is to die in him first, amen, to die to our sins, to die to the smallness of our own selfishness, amen, to die to our fear of what's going to happen, our fear of pain, our fear of discomfort. Saints, it is that to which we are called today. We're not free from worry only in Jesus Christ, because that's on whom our trust is. Now, at this time, I'm going to ask you to look at that worry list. And I pray that something you were able to write down. We all have some concern about the future, all of us. And I pray you have written it down. Some burden, some fear, some worry about the future, whatever it is. And I want you to take that piece of paper that says worry, and as a way of naming it before the Lord, maybe it's a child, maybe it's money, You and God know what that worry in your life is. Maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe it's a loss in your life. Maybe it's a deadline. Maybe it's what people think about you. Maybe it's a failure you've had in your life. Whatever it is, write it down, please. I lifted my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. The one who watches over you will not let your foot slip.